Hallelujah. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. You kind of know what happens when the thunder begins to roll. You kind of know what's about to take place when you see the lightning begin to flash up in the skies. When you start hearing the sound of there's a storm coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we send our praises up. We send our worship up, Lord, and let your glory come down. Let the power of your presence fill this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I clap my hands. I lift my voice. There's expectation in my spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I hope that when the Lord begins to move and begins to speak, I hope I'm not like the children of Israel when the Lord began to speak from Mount Sinai and the clouds begin to get dark and the thunder begins to roll. And they sat back and said, oh, Moses, don't let the Lord speak to us like that anymore. You go ahead and you talk with him and then you come and relay. I hope that when the power and presence of God begins to roll in and we begin to feel his spirit, we don't step back in fear and say, we say, I know the Lord is here. I want to hear what he has to say. I want to be ministered to in spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. You are in the atmosphere. You are in the presence of an almighty God who is able to do absolutely anything. Heal any disease. Break any addiction. Deliver. He's here. And ultimately to save. I'm so thankful that I know a God, that I have a relationship with a God who leads and guides me and helps me along this way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know there are many things that we could bring to your attention by way of announcement, but I just feel in the Holy Ghost, we just need to let the Lord work. Go forward. It's such an honor, such a privilege to have Brother Fred Oates with us. According to your Facebook, you hail from Oklahoma. All right. And so I have not had the pleasure up until tonight of meeting him that I know of, but he comes highly recommended, and I'm thankful that he had an opening in his schedule and was able to be with us here tonight. And I just want him to come and take his liberty and minister the word of the Lord. And I want you to receive. I want you to get behind him. And let's just have a good time in the presence. Let the Lord do what he wants to do in this place, shall we? Why don't you put your hands together? Why don't you lift your voice? Why don't you raise it unto the Lord, thanking God for his goodness? As you welcome to his pulpit, Reverend Fred Oates.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let's raise up the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. You can be seated for a few moments. My. What a beautiful building that you are so privileged to worship in. Praise God. I am just taken aback. I do love old church buildings. As Pastor said, I hail from Oklahoma, from Tulsa to be specific, and you are looking at a real live Cherokee Indian from Oklahoma. and y'all want to learn how to speak Cherokee? I can teach y'all in three words how to carry on a conversation with any full-blood, fluent Cherokee Indian in the world. First word, I'm going to say hello, but whenever you say hello back, you say it a little bit differently. So whenever someone initiates it, You say, O-C-O, but then whenever you say it back, you leave off the O and you just say C-O. So, O-C-O. Oh, hallelujah. We're cooking with gas already. So we've known how to say hello. At the end of the conversation, you can end it by, it's more of a thank you than it really is a goodbye, but you can, you say, wado. Wado. So, osio. And then at the end of the conversation, wado. And it's this middle word that is the most important, all right? So I need you to really pay attention, because if you could just remember the first one and the last one, and then, but this middle word will get you through all the rest of the conversation. Are you ready for it? All right, here it is. If you can remember those three words, you talk to any full-blood Cherokee. Whenever he's done, he will think that you knew how to speak Cherokee. I have four lovely children, and they all have Cherokee names. My oldest, she ran off and joined the circus this year. Not really. She got married in February. And I'm struggling. How many of y'all have married children, grown and married children? Was it a struggle for y'all to understand and think that you were really old enough to have a son-in-law? I don't think I'm old enough to have a son-in-law. But I have one. And I'm still trying to decide if I like him or not. Oh, he's a good boy. He's a good boy. I told him, I said, listen, normally I don't like people who make my wife cry. But I see the smile on that girl's face, and that kind of changes some things. And so, well, I can't do anything about it, so I might as well learn to do something. I might as well learn to like it. And that's not the only reason they have. She married into a whole nest of missionaries. And his grandma and grandpa are missionaries. His mom and daddy are missionaries. And he and my daughter feel a call to the mission field, which makes my wife cry. Which normally is something I don't like. But by the help of the Lord, we'll get through it all. And pray for them. One of these days, they're going to be appointed and go to Cameroon, Africa, if the Lord tarries. That is where his grandma and grandpa are missionaries. That's where his mom and daddy are missionaries, and that's where he'll be going. And he'll be coming and taking my daughter. And they can leave the grandkids here, and they can go off on whatever kind of adventure they want to go on, I suppose. But I'm not sure I'm going to let the grandkids go to Africa. Somebody say amen. That's y'all know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I'm very thankful to be here, very humbled to be in northern Illinois. It's cold up here. But do y'all know why it's a little bit warmer than it normally is? Because Jesus loves me, that's why. Because I'm freezing already, and y'all are just saying, well, this isn't anything. Just stick around a little while. Amen. I'm not sticking around a little while. I'm preaching in Florida in January. Praise God. I was in Florida 2 weeks ago, and they're having me back. But anyway, the Lord's been good, and I have felt the presence of God in this house today, tonight. Felt the presence of God in Addison, felt the presence of God in DeKalb, and now I feel the presence of God in Sandwich. And And like I said, this building, somebody said the building was built in 1897. When? Oh, the revival was in 1897. Right. The revival was 10 years before Oklahoma became a state. Y'all were already having revival. We weren't even a state yet. We hadn't even joined up. We were still trying to pick which side we wanted to be on. But we became a state in 1907. And in 1897, that's amazing. And this building then built. I pastored in two different places in Oklahoma, and for 13 years total. And the last place we pastored, God gave us an old church. Amen. We moved into a neighborhood and started a church from scratch. And everybody ought to do that at least once. Amen. It'll take a little starch out of your shorts. Amen. But it's good for you. And the Lord was very good to us and showed us. You know, sometimes, and I'm going to be preaching a little bit in this direction, but sometimes God will take you to a place. And he'll allow you to be in a place where you have to rely on him. Praise God. How many of you believe in miracles? Now, leave your hands up. How many of you want to be one? Something's going to happen in your life that you're going to need a miracle to be a miracle. Jesus said one time, the disciples were trying to get him to go, trying to get him to stay. They were arguing with him. His friends came and said, Lazarus is sick. The man that you love, the family where you go spend the night whenever you're in Jerusalem, whenever just a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem in Bethany, and Lazarus is on his deathbed. And the disciples, you go read this for yourself, the disciples said, oh, he said, he's only sleeping. And they went, shh, well, at least we don't have to go back there. And then somebody else came and he said, well, I'm going to go. And they said, Lord, don't you remember? That's where they wanted to stone you. That's where they wanted to kill us. Surely you've forgotten. Surely you don't want to go back to Jerusalem. And Jesus said, I'm going. And not Peter and not John and not Peter's brother Andrew and not John's brother James. It was not any of the ones that you'd. It wasn't Matthew that wrote a book. It was Thomas. Thomas said, come, let us die with him. Thomas decided, you know what? I have thrown my hat over the wall. I have decided that I am in this thing with both feet. I have decided that this is my Lord and my Savior. I have decided to buy the whole lot. I have decided to get in this thing. And if that means I've got to go die with Jesus, amen. If that means that where he wants to take me leads to my own death, then I'll just have to trust him. Because what have I got without him? And they went to Jerusalem. Amen. I want to be like a Thomas. If all you ever know about Thomas was he doubted, then you're doing Thomas a disservice and yourself. Because Thomas is the one that said, come, let us die with him. Come. You know, there was a, did somebody bring a hat into the house tonight? Everybody got a hat. People used to wear hats. Amen. Do you mind my using your hat for a moment? Are you sure? All right. There was an Irishman. I don't have cooties, I promise. All right. Irishman come up to a wall one day. And I'm just as much Irish as I am Cherokee, so I can tell this story, all right? He comes up to the wall, and he looks at the wall. And he looks down, and he can't get around it. And he looks down this way, and he can't get around it. And so he just says, well, I'll just have to climb over it. And so he grabbed a hold of it, and he tried to get a hold of the vines, and he just slid down. That wall again. And then he went up and he tried to pull and he tried to get over it and he slid down. And this happened a half a dozen times. And finally he took off his hat and he threw his hat over on the other side of the wall. And he just walked up there and clumbed right over that wall and went and got his hat. See, whenever you throw your hat over the wall, whenever you decide that there's something of value, I've got an investment now. I've thrown everything I've got over the wall. I have decided that I'm in this no matter where it takes me. I'm going to do the will of God. Amen. I'm going to follow after the Spirit of God. I'm going to follow after the Word of God. I'm going to follow after every, and I'm just going to do whatever and go wherever God takes me. Amen. Walls don't become any big deal then. Giants don't become any big deal then. You just go on through. You just go right there. Amen. Somebody in this house needs to raise up your hand. Make up your mind and make a commitment. If you're sitting straddle the wall right now and you haven't made up your mind whether to throw everything you've got, I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. You haven't seen anything yet, friend. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I better preach here a minute. I've already gotten to preaching just a little bit, but amen. I would like for you to turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. And I've got actually, let's go to a different one because that's a long one and I don't want you. And I've got three different places I want to take you here. And I'll just have you stand for just one of them. Is that all right? So let's go to Proverbs chapter 11. But stick your finger in Leviticus 19. We're going back there after you get seated. Proverbs 11, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Pastor, would you pray? Amen. And ask the Lord. And everybody say amen and you can be seated. And I do give honor to your pastor and thank him for the invitation. I do not take that lightly. And I don't just mean that to be cursory. I kind of got caught up in what I was saying earlier. But let's go to Leviticus chapter 19 and let's look there. And see if it doesn't say just about the same thing. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meteored, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments, and do them. I am the Lord. And then I also want to take you to Deuteronomy chapter 25. And it is also going to say the same thing. Deuteronomy 25 and 13 says, thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. So three times we see that a just weight and a just measure are God's delight, and anything otherwise are an abomination. And that word abomination holds firm. It means that's part of just the way God sees things, and he's not going to change. It's a part of who he is, so deeply into his core that he is, that there's no debate and there's no change and there's no argument from one testament to the next. God hates an unjust weight. He loves a just measure, and it's going to stay that way from now on. Now, let me kind of explain, in case you don't know exactly where we're going here with a just measure, a just weight. What does all of that mean? Back then, you didn't have a scale that whenever you got up in the morning, you walked in, and mine's a digital scale, and I have to touch it with my toe, and then I have to wait for the light to come on. And then I have to wait for it to zero itself out. And then I get up on top of it. And then the number appears. And then the smoke starts coming out. They didn't have scales like that back then. They had a scale that was on a weight that went up and down like this. All right? And if you were going to, let's say that you were going to the market and you were going to buy something, then you say, I want a pound of apples. The man that's selling the apples reaches down in his bag and he gets out a piece of lead that says 1 pound on it. And he puts it on this side of the scale. And then he starts stacking up apples onto the other side until it gets even. And when it gets even, 1 pound on this side, 1 pound on this side, then he can charge you for your apples. But what the Lord is saying that he hates, what the Lord is saying that is an abomination unto him, is that there were unscrupulous men in those days. Now, you know what? They still are. My wife gets so aggravated at me because whenever I go to the grocery store and I buy tomatoes, it aggravates the living fire out of me that they leave the vines on them. And I pull all the vines off of them, and I put them in the bag, and I go up, and whenever they start to charge me for them, then they say, well, they start try to charge me a different price. I say, oh, no, 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 those tomatoes are this price per pound. And then she says, then she'll all, the little gal or the boy, whoever it is, they'll say, well, no, those tomatoes have vines on them. And I say, whenever I start eating vines, I'll start paying for them by the pound. I don't even like the stem to stay on the end. I flip those off. Now, you might think that that's silly, but it all adds up. And if you're running a corporation like Walmart, and you can leave enough stems that weigh just a fraction of an ounce on the top of that tomato, and you sell a billion of them, amen, it all adds up. And it's just one more way to get into my pocket, amen, charge me something per pound that I'm not eating. And I don't like it, but that's, praise God, I better go back to preaching. And because I think of these verses whenever that happens. Because what would happen if you were buying apples? The man would reach down in his bag and he might reach down and get a piece of lead that he knows only weighs 3/4 of a pound. But it says 1 pound on it. And then he shows it to you. I've got the 1 pound weight. And he lays it on there. And then he starts stacking up apples until he's got three-fourths of a pound on here. And then he charges you for a whole pound. And God says, I hate that. Don't do that. Likewise, if you're selling apples, he's got to buy them from somewhere. His trees can't make enough to supply everybody that comes to the market. And if you're selling apples, he reaches down in his bag and he gets the one that weighs 1.25, 1 1/4 pound out. But it says 1 pound on it. And he puts it up there on the scale. And you end up selling him 1 1/4 pound of apples and only get paid for a pound of apples. God says, I hate that. The scales will be even. The scales have to be right. The scales have to be, amen. And so let me tell you something. There are some people, I believe, whenever I was praying and I was asking God, what would you have me preach? What would you have me tell your church in Sandwich, Illinois tonight? Amen. I believe that the Holy Ghost told me that there are some people in the church that love God, amen, that have given themselves to Him, that have thrown your hat over the wall, but your present circumstance is not what you would want it to be. Your present circumstance is not the Garden of Eden. Your present circumstance, where you are, and what, whenever you go out, amen, you don't open up your door right now and look out and see puppy dogs and rainbows and butterflies going everywhere. You open up the door of your life. You wake up every morning and open up your eyes, and you're in the middle of a storm. You're in the middle of something that you're wondering. You're battening down the hatches. You're trying to hold on to everything that you can get a hold of. You're trying to get a hold of everything that's firm. You're trying to, oh yeah, you come to church and you go to work and you put a smile on your face and you love Jesus, but in your prayer closet and where you're at, you're saying, God, amen, when's it gonna be over? God, when are you going to deliver me? God, when are, how am I I going to get out of this thing that I'm in? I want you to know, my friend, that God says that if the scales get out of balance, it is His will to put them back into balance. Anything else is an abomination unto your Lord. Anything else is an abomination unto our God. God will balance the scales back out. Mark my word. Give Him thanks, church. Give Him praise. Don't get your eyes on the circumstances. Don't get your eyes on the storm. Don't get your eyes on where you're at. Don't get your eyes on the wind. Don't get your eyes on the rain. Don't get your eyes on everything that your senses are telling you that is the truth. I am here to tell you by faith, amen, by the word of God, that the Lord has a day, amen, marked on His calendar when He's going to step out onto the edge of the boat and He's going to say, peace be still, because the scale can't stay the way it is. He just won't let it. He hates it this way. Are you putting verses up there? Amen. Can you get me Mark chapter 6? We're going to start in verse 45. We'll just kind of read it together. And straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while He sent the people away. Verse 46. And when He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. So the Lord puts His disciples into a ship. And He says, I want you to go to the other side of the sea. And He does not get in the ship with them, but He backs away. And He goes somewhere to pray. Verse 47. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land. So the writer, Mark, wants to make sure you know He's not in the boat. Verse 48. And when He saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh to them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. And for they all saw Him and were troubled. And immediately He talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore afraid, amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. And verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And that's really where I'm headed right here. One of the most incredible miracles in the entire scripture. 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. So if they were a little nuclear family and all those men were married and they had 1.2 children, we're looking at 17,500 people. But they weren't nuclear and they had more kids back then than they do now. So it might have been 20, 25,000 people. We don't know. That's one of the questions I've got in my book that I'm going to ask Jesus whenever I get to heaven. How many were there? Because I preached it from 10,000 to 25. It was more than 5,000. But even if it was just 5,000, this is a big miracle. And they start getting hungry. And Philip says, we don't have enough to feed them all. We don't have enough money. We've only got this amount. And what do you want us to do? Do you want us to send them away? And the Lord said, well, what do you have? And so they start looking around, and they come with a little boy's lunch and a few fishes and loaves, and they said, this is what we have. And the Lord began to bless it and break it and multiply it. If you will just give Jesus what you have, he will bless you, he will break you, and he will multiply. And that really is the premise of what I'm preaching about. Because they were blessed in this miracle. They were blessed. Amen. He blessed, he break, and he multiplied. All right? So he blessed, and all of these people were filled. In fact, there was enough fragments afterward that there were 12 baskets full. There was enough to send down to the homeless shelter. Amen. After they got done and feed all the poor folk. And the disciples were an integral part of that. They helped pass out the fish. They helped pass out the bread. The Lord looked at them and he said, I want you to organize the people and put them in companies of 10 and 20 and put them out here. Amen. And let's make an assembly. Let's get this all together, because we're not just going to have people rush up in here, but we're going to do this orderly. And so God used them. God did everything. And then they saw everything that was left over. Maybe they didn't take it to the homeless shelter. There were 12 baskets full. Amen. Man, what do y'all do whenever you have a potluck? Whenever the potluck's over, everybody takes home some leftovers, don't they? There was a basket full of fish and bread for all 12 disciples to take home to Mrs. Disciple. And they were a part of this. Now look here for a minute. The miracle of the loaves and the fishes happened. When do people start getting hungry for lunch? Probably about noon, 1 o'clock. Getting real hungry and restless about 2. It happened. The miracles of the loaves and the fishes happened at between noon and 2 o'clock. And then where'd my verse go? That they had forgotten about it and hardened their heart about 10 o'clock that night. This is the same day. The clock, the calendar hadn't even flipped over to the next day. This is the same exact day. They had been a part of a miracle that is included in all the gospels. They had been a part of a miracle that fed 5,000, not counting the women and the children. They had been a part, and they had passed out the fish, and they had passed out the bread, and they knew how much they started with, and they knew that there was more left over at the end than there was that they started with. And they were a part of the moving of God and the miraculous things of the Lord. But because of the wind, and because of the storm, and because of the waves, and because of their present circumstance, they had forgotten about the miraculous that they had only been a part of just a few short hours ago. Friend of mine, you might be in a storm. You might be in a wave. You might be in the trial of your life. But I want to encourage you. I want to tell you. I want to remind you. I want to take your mind back to the miraculous things that God has done with you just a few hours ago. just a few hours ago, it was like this. Just a few hours ago, you were a part of the miraculous. Just a few hours ago, you were partaking in something that was bigger than you. Just a few hours ago, the Lord was speaking to you and directing you. Just a few hours ago, you were a part of the mighty move of God. But because of the wind and the rain, it's so very easy for your heart to get hardened. It's so very easy for you to forget about what the Lord has done for you just not very long ago. It's so very easy whenever you're in the breaking mode to forget about the blessing that happened to you this morning. He blessed it, he broke it, and then he multiplied. I'm almost done. I'm not going to preach a whole lot longer. I have just a very simple message, a very simple encouragement that I want to bring to somebody. But I want to take you, and you can take us here, Brother Sound Man here. I want to take you to verse 52. That's verse 52. Now let's go on to 53. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship straightway, they knew him. Whenever Jesus and the disciples got out of the boat, now Jesus is in the boat. Amen. Don't ever doubt the fact that Jesus will get in the boat with you in the middle of the breaking if you'll just invite him. So now he's in the boat, and they go on over to the other side, and they get to the other side, to Gennesaret. And whenever they get out of the boat, they know him. Now, how do they know him? Because he's been there before. He cast a legion of devils out of a man just a few months ago. And this man that had the devils cast out wanted to get in the boat with him and leave with him. And Jesus said, no, you've got to stay here. Because they wanted to kill Jesus at that time. They wanted to stone him. He'd run a flock of hogs off of a cliff, amen. And they were mad at him. And they wanted to kill him. And so Jesus gets back in the boat. He puts that man. And for all of this time, 6 months, 8 months, a year, however long it was, this old boy had been telling him, you remember me? I was the guy that used to live in the cemetery. You remember me? You remember trying to tie me up? Do you remember going down to the hardware store and buying new ropes to try to tie me up? And I broke them all. Do you remember that? Boy, wasn't that a trip. Amen. That was a fun day. Amen. No, not really, because I was possessed of the devils. But look at me clothed and in my right mind now. And this man's been witnessing all over the countryside and telling everybody about Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And now Jesus comes back. Verse 56. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, it wasn't just a little bit of space just there, just kind of dug out on the riverbank, amen, where he just got out of the boat and then he got back into the boat. No, he went all over and all around. They laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. 57? Is that the last one in the chapter? All right. So, if you'll just hang on through the storm, there's a revival that's bigger than the miracle. They were a part of the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. That's the blessed. Then there was a storm. That's the breaking. It happened. The blessing happened in the morning. The breaking happened at night. But the next day started a revival. Now I have preached, amen, and you've heard it preached seven ways to Sunday about that little old lady that kind of elbowed her way with the issue of blood, elbowed her way through the crowd and got a hold of the hem of his garment. But she's not the only one that got touched by just touching the hem of his garment. There was a revival. There was multiple people. There was multiple people. Amen. They besought him that they might touch, if it were, the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Friend of mine, hang on. Morning is coming. Amen. I want to encourage you to remember the miraculous things that God has done for you in your past. If you're in the middle of a storm right now, remember the lion. Remember the bear. Amen. Remember what God's done for you in the past. Remember how he's delivered you. Remember what he did. Why don't we all stand? Remember what God's done for you in your past. Remember where he brought you out of. Remember the pit that he dug you out of. Remember what God's done for you in your past. Remember the miraculous. Oh, but friend, that's nothing compared to the revival that you've got coming tomorrow. All the miraculous things that Jesus has done for you in your past, amen, ought to get your mind off the storm, amen. But even if you don't, it doesn't get you off, amen. Take my word for it. God, an unjust weight is an abomination. He won't leave it this way very long. He won't let it stay like it is very long. God's going to put that thing back right. God's going to bring that thing back into balance. And whenever he does, tomorrow is even better. Tomorrow is even better. If you're in the middle of a storm, if you're in the middle, it might be the fight of your life. It might be that you are just hanging on. You're tying everything down that you can get tied down. You're trying to figure out up from down. The wind has been blowing and you've been putting a smile on your face and acting like everything's all right. Amen. It is. You're right. Everything's all right. But I want you to come up to the altar. I want you to come up around this altar tonight. Amen. Because God, amen, we're going to pray with you. And I believe that the Lord is going to touch you. Amen. I believe that the Lord is going to give you something. I believe the Lord is going to remind you tomorrow, amen, the revival that you've got coming in your life and in this church tomorrow is greater than what happened yesterday. And it's sure enough greater than the storm that you're in today. Amen. Revival is coming to Sandwich Church. Amen. And it's coming to your individual life. Amen. Let's pray. Let's ask.
I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible. by what I see. I'm not gonna live by what I feel. Deep down I know that you're here with me. I know that you can do anything. Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things. For it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible. I'm not gonna live by what I see. I'm not gonna live by what I feel. Deep down I know that you're here with me. I know that you can do anything. Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things. For it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open.
Hallelujah.
Strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible. I'm not gonna live by what I see. I'm not gonna live by what I feel. Deep down I know that you're here with me. I know that you can do anything. Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things. For it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible. I believe in you. Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things. For it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible. I believe in you. Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things. For it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. possible through you. Blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible.
What you know is true, keep believing. You know the Lord will see you through when troubles rise in your life and you don't know what to do. You'll be fine if you just keep. What you know is true, keep believing. You know the Lord will see you through when troubles rise in your life and you don't know what to do. You'll be fine if you just keep.
Hallelujah. I'm going to keep believing.
What you know is true.
What lies ahead is better than what came before.
You know the Lord will see.
What God has in store for me will exceed
all
my experiences so far because I believe, I trust in you.
You'll be fine if you just keep believing, keep believing in what you know is true. Keep believing, you know the Lord will see you through when troubles rise in your life and you don't know what to do. You'll be fine if you just keep believing.
Thank you, Brother Oates. Word. If you came today in need of encouragement, I think you know the Lord was here to encourage, strengthen, to lift you up. We serve a wonderful God. And while life is not fair and situations and circumstances happen and troubles, do Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble. You'll have adverse situations and circumstances. But what I love about the word of the Lord, and when I have faith to believe, I have to look at the story of Job. Yes, loss, devastation. But then the Lord said, come here, angel. We keep good records up here. We know exactly how much we've allowed the enemy to take. And I'm not just going to bring it back in balance. Catch this. We serve this kind of God. We serve a God who goes above and beyond. And more, the Bible says, so that the latter state was greater than the former. We serve that kind of God. Apostle Paul said it this way, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Why? Because we serve that kind of God. And if I don't have it here in this life, guess what? I'll definitely have it forevermore, because he's that kind of God. Thank you, Jesus. Can we lift our hands all over this house? You are a God that goes above and beyond. You always, without fail, tip the scale in our favor. You always, God, have our best interest at heart, you know. Oh, and I'm thankful that I can trust you. Even when I don't see the end, and even when I don't understand, Lord, you know the end from the beginning. You know that the thoughts you have towards me, there's an expected end. And the latter will be greater than the former. One more time, can you lift your voice in the Lord? Can you clap your hands? Can you applaud the word of the Lord? Thank you, God. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you. Just keep believing. Just keep stretching. Just keep going forward. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. Go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.